All right, does anybody need a Bible? If you need a Bible, raise your hand and Jim will get you one. And once you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. And last week we were introduced to the seven trumpet judgments as we got to the chapter 8. And it leaves me awestruck when I think about and I see the power of God, seeing that he is able to control and use the elements just for his bidding. The things that he's able to do and the power he has. It's awesome when you realize the power being used to flatten out the sun and the moon that we talked about last week. We saw last week that there was a time of silence of 30 minutes there in heaven when the scroll opened up to show the debt. The debt and the price paid for that debt. The scroll that had been the debt of our sin was written on the back, and as those, that seventh seal was opened and the debt was revealed, people were left breathless, speechless. There was no words to say. So today it brings us to the fifth and the sixth trumpet judgments, as we see. And these two are very interesting, because these have some very supernatural things taking place within them. And at this point in the book, we realize that there are a lot of supernatural things taking place that we can't even really understand or comprehend in a totality. People often try to make the things that we're going to be reading about into natural things. Things they try to, well, it could be this or it could be that. They try to take the things that John saw and turn them into some kind of a natural event. And I don't want to rush into all of these things just considering or explaining them away naturally. That's what the History Channel does. You know, if you've ever watched the History Channel, when they try to do something on biblical, I mean, wow. I can't watch it. I have to turn it off. It just gets me frustrated when I see the things that they come up with on the History Channel by trying to turn biblical events into something that happens naturally. So in chapter 9, we will see a fearful demon host. This demon host, which is to be unleashed by divine permission. It's divinely permitted. The terrible demons loosed from the pit, and they will seize upon men and prepare them for a strong, strong delusion and for the exaltation of the beast to have complete and universal power. That's what this demonic force is going to unleash. The tribulation period now continues forward here in chapter 9. We've seen several amazing things take place and on earth as well as in the heavens, and we're going to see that in this chapter. So let's start out here in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him it was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and the smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." So this star that falls is personified here. He's fallen from heaven. So this is most likely the devil himself, and it, because it's actually written in the past tense. It says that he's been given the key to the abuso, or for the Greek word here, we would call it the abyss, is what it would be translated. So when he opens up of this abyss, these locust-type creatures come out. They come flying out of here, and then smoke and locusts, it says, come out of the earth. Keep in mind that within the abyss there are sinful angels or demons, according to Jude chapter 6, that are in chains, and they're in chains waiting judgment. Held there for the judgment, and this may be the judgment that is being spoken about here. This abyss is like a furnace. It's like a furnace of smoke is coming out of it. It's like this furnace, and it's referred to as a bottomless pit, which could be referring to all who would reject God. All those over the centuries that have rejected God. Eventually, all of these will end up in the lake of fire as we get to the end of the book of Revelation. But the smoke from this pit even affects the atmosphere. It's so coarse and so dark. So it says so the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. So what does all this mean? As this abyss is opened up and these things come flying out of it and the smoke and everything else, it makes you wonder, as you think about the fire and the smoke coming out, is hell actually at the center of the earth? Well, it's very possible, but I don't want to get all caught up in if it is or if it isn't. I just know that because of Christ, I will not have to go there. Praise God for that. Glory to Him for that. So out of this smoking pit, it says we'll see these locusts coming out. Look at verse 3. It says, then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And then verse 4 said, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So currently, in these days, when locusts come around, they come along and they eat every green thing that they can find. They can move through a field and destroy it in a blink of an eye. Remember a while back, the locusts invaded the valley here? And it was just amazing. They would show on the news these clips of downtown Fremont Street. And it looked like it was raining or something. All the locusts flying around there. They can be amazing as they come in and just in swarm places. So locusts usually don't bother people. They usually don't have a lot to do with people. They go with the green plants and all these other things. But here, these locusts that are released at this point, their complete purpose is to bother people, as we will see. They have these tails like a scorpion, and they go about stinging with these tails. Well, you know, a scorpion sting is miserable. I stepped on one about 8 years ago. I still remember it real clear. Immediately, my foot went numb, and I lost feeling almost all the way up to my knee for about 5 days. It was numb. It was terrible. But a scorpion sting can even be deadly. It can be deadly. It says, but only do not sting these men, but do not harm or do not sting those that have been sealed. Those that have been sealed, so they have some limits. These scorpion-like creatures, these locusts with these scorpion tails, have some limits placed upon them. They can't eat what they usually eat. They can't eat that, which is the grass and other crops in the field. But they're not permitted to eat those things. So they're not after any vegetation. When they're released out of this pit, they're after man. They're after mankind. But it is very clear that they cannot harm. They can't harm those that are sealed. And of course, that's the 144,000 from chapter 7. So they are sealed. They are sealed and they cannot be touched by these locusts with these scorpion-type tails. They are not able to kill either, these scorpion-like creatures. Look at verse 5. And they were not given the authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. So the word torment here means to test or torture. To torture someone by pressure. And this is actually the idea here, that it's a torturous, pressuring thing that's happening with these stings. This is judgment. This is judgment going on here upon the earth. This will not be a pleasant time to be on the earth, believe me. And then the interesting part is, as we will read here, they will not be able to die. Look at verse 6. Excuse me. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. So this will go on for months. It's going to go on for months, and it may mean that they will even maybe possibly receive multiple stings during this time. When you're stung by a scorpion, you feel the immediate sting and this numbing feeling that takes place. Like I said, my foot was immediately numb. And it can lead to some very severe symptoms. And I think that's what will happen with these people during this tribulation period. These stings can cause not only a numb feeling, but also a difficult time in swallowing. You can end up having a thickening of your tongue, blurred vision, and a roving eye movements. Seizures and difficulty breathing can take place here. I remember right after I got stung, I was jerking. I couldn't stop. And we called Center for Disease Control. What good they are. We found that out the last couple of years. But when we called them, we asked them I told them what happened. What should we do? They said, well, if you can't breathe and your throat closes, go to the hospital. Thanks. I called my bug guy, and he had even less advice for me, so I won't tell you what he told me. But this is miserable. It's miserable, and these people want to die because of these scorpion-like stings, but they won't be able to. They just can't die. They just can't die. Another evidence of God's power is being talked about here. God is able to withhold death from these people. Imagine trying to kill yourself just to get out of the pain, and you're unable to do so. You know, when you have pain so severe, so much, you just want to get out of the pain. And here they're like that, but they can't do it. There's nothing they can do. In some way, he stops them from being able to commit suicide even. This will be a torturous judgment to go through. This is going to be, it's just unbelievable. That's why we should be motivated when we read these things to go out and share with those that we know and love to receive Jesus. These things are coming upon the earth. And this is a real strange look to these locusts. They're identified here, and they kind of look a little bit different. Look at verse 7. It says, the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, like horses prepared for battle. So locusts actually do have a horse-like appearance in their face. The German word for locust actually means hay horse, is what the German word for it means. In Italian, it means little horse. And so the face of the locust actually takes on that horse-like appearance. But it says on their head was something like a crown, like a gold crown. Usually this is a symbol of victory or dominion, domination over others with a crown. So it seems for a time they will have dominion over all of those that they're stinging in that way. So let's break these last few verses apart a little bit. Verse 7, as it says there in the second part, their faces were like the faces of men. And verse 8 starts out, says they had hair like a woman's hair. Kind of like walking into the strip or someplace today. You know, you see these men's faces and women's hair on them. But this could mean the length of their hair, or also it could even be seduction within this going on. And verse 8 goes on, their teeth were like lion's teeth. you know, being ferocious, very, very ferocious and very, very, you know, fearful looking to think about that lion's teeth coming at you in that way. And then verse 9 starts out and says, and they had breastplates like the breastplate of iron. This would make them difficult to destroy. You know, a normal everyday locust, when you step on it, it kind of crackles and crunches. But this has this breastplate. It's going to be difficult to destroy these locusts that are on the earth. And so man's wisdom is not going to be able to find a way to stop these. There's not going to be any stopping of them. And then verse 9 says, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Now many people try to say this is a natural thing. This is describing tanks. Tanks that are coming into war. The sound that they make will be terrifying, though. I think even more terrifying than a bunch of tanks. People will be overwhelmed by them, completely overwhelmed by them. As we see, and then think about these two creatures, the horse-like face, and face like a man, but hair like a woman, and the teeth are very ferocious and fearful looking, and the breastplate of iron, and all of these things that are coming in, and the sound. You know, combine all these things together. It's just, you know, we can't even comprehend it. You know, just when you hear just, you know, some kind of a terrifying sound, that's bad enough in itself. But then add all these other things to it. I sure don't want to be here. That's for sure. So now we're going to look and see who is controlling these creatures. Look at verse 11. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. So in both ways that it is said, he is the destroyer, this king that is over them. He's the destroyer. And so that's how it's actually translated, as the destroyer. Probably, of course, this is Satan himself. He's the one that's trying to have kingdom of this earth anyway. He's the one that at this time, he's God, little g, of this world, because he was given that title deed to the planet through Adam and Eve. So this is Satan as their king. He is the one in command. He's the one in command of these, of what I think is a very huge demonic army. The demonic army that's been set free from this bottomless pit. Now look at verse 12. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these. Remember last week in one of the verses it said, woe, woe, woe. We saw three woes listed out there last week in chapter 8. Here the first woe is coming to pass, but there it says two more are coming after these. The woe, of course, is referring to affliction that is coming in a very intense way. An intense way. So for 5 months, at this point, men have been being afflicted, wanting to die but couldn't. All of these effects of the scorpion stings have been going on for 5 long months. 5 days was long enough for me, believe me. Then, at this point, the sixth trumpet sounds and the second woe begins. Here we have another affliction going on the earth that is associated now with this golden altar. Look at verse 13. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. So we find here prayer and incense. We've talked about that a couple of weeks. The prayer and incense were going on from the golden altar, and this again could be the answer to the prayers of the martyred saints. Remember back in chapter 6, they were cried out to the Lord, how long, O Lord, before you avenge us? And so here is coming up off of this golden altar, these prayers and these things are coming up through the incense to the Father. Verse 14 goes on, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Release them. Remember that they had been told, the four angels had been told to hold back the winds or hold back the judgments. Now they're being released from the great river Euphrates. And so these angels are bound there in the river Euphrates. And the river, that's a landmark river in Babylon, as we see that. And remember in Jude verse 6, it said, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So this may be that day of judgment that they've been held for there in Jude, that we've been talked about. Babylon, Euphrates, this is a location of counterfeit religion. That's the birthplace of all this counterfeit religion that takes place in the world. And a lot of demonic activity has taken place there down throughout all of history. It's been just kind of a focal point for the enemy and his demons taking place. And it seems these demons are prepared for what they are going to do. They're prepared, they're ready, they're waiting, they know their job, and they know what is going to happen, and they go about it. So verse 15, we see what they're going to take place here. It says, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. They were prepared. They are literally carrying out the will of God here. And now they're going to, says kill a third of mankind. A third of mankind. Remember, a fourth of mankind has already died up to this point. So now a third means that now 50% have died away. 50% of the earth have been taken, of mankind has been dealt with and taken out of here. And these, of course, are people that have rejected Christ. Verse 16 goes on. It says, now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. So the number of the horsemen were 200 million. And they are described as horsemen. So how big is an army of 200 million? It's huge. I heard on the news a couple of days ago that all of the nations, the economic community, European community overseas, if you combine all of the NATO nations together, they have an army of 200 million. If you combine all the NATO nations together. And also, if you think about the Gulf War that happened back in the 90s, 30 nations were involved in it with the Iraq army. There were about 1 million soldiers in the field at that time. Here there will be 200 million. 200 million. That gives us an idea of how big that is when you think about all of those in the Iraq War and things that were taking place then. So then John goes on now and he gives us some details about this army. Look at verse 17. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. So there's these colors that we have, red and sulfur. These may be clues for us to know really actually what's going on, because those colors show up in other places in the text of the Bible. Red almost always deals with the dragon. Heads of horses were like the heads of the lions, it says. That speaks of being very fierce, very ferocious. Out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. So demonic activity is taking place here on a gigantic scale. You know, the Bible says that our enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And most of us as believers, we go through different trials and different things that the enemy is trying to rip us off with. They're nothing compared to what the magnitude of this demonic activity that's going to be taking place during the tribulation period. It's on a giant, giant scale. Now look at verse 18. It says, by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. So they kill actually by this fire, this smoke, and this brimstone. And so the power of these horses was in their mouth as well as in their tail. Then verse 19 says, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. So they seem to have these heads on both ends. Like I say, these are some supernatural things. And people try to bring them in to bring natural things, but they don't really, I don't think it just works out that way. They seem to have these heads on both ends, and he describes it kind of like a serpent or a snake. And these things are used to kill. That's their purpose. That's why they're here. Is there any way to find a natural explanation for this? Well, many have said that this sounds like actually an Apache helicopter. Or maybe the old flying fortresses that had gun turrets in the front as well as in the back. That's some of the natural things they tried to apply these to. So many try to make these to be some sort of modern technology that is being talked about here. And so these things have been said about this text over down through the years. But I'm not really satisfied with all of this reasoning. They say there is this giant army roaming the earth with these mechanisms that was killing people. I see the mention of the Euphrates here. I see fiery red color, fire, brimstone, smoke, serpent tails. A lot of these things relate to demonic traits. See, I think the problem is people don't want to believe in the devil. They don't want to believe that demons are active and are real. And so they try to put these natural meanings into these things instead of really realizing this is a demonic army taking place. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities in the dark places, the scripture says. These things are seen over and over again in scriptures. So I see them as demonic armies that are allowed by God. They're allowed by God to accomplish his judgment here upon the earth. The judgment that he prophesied would come. The judgment that's being talked about here in the book of Revelation through this vision that was given to us so that we would know that we can escape these things. So here at this point, we're well into the tribulation now. We're deep in the tribulation here in this part of Revelation. Men's hearts, we find, will start getting harder and harder. Think about it. The longer judgment goes on, the harder men's hearts become. They become harder and harder with that. Remember what happened to Pharaoh's heart. It got harder and harder. God hardened it at the end, but Pharaoh hardened it over and over again in the beginning. He hardened his own heart first. Men are hardening their hearts. They're hardening their hearts, and we have to realize the devil is not your friend. He's not your friend. He's no one's friend, especially mankind. The media just tries to glamorize him. Try to make him all these handsome characters in Twilight. And all of these other media movies and things that Satan's just this nice guy. No, he's not. He's nobody's friend. Harry Potter, just make all of these demonic things so normal and natural to people. Satan lures men into believing that they are something when they are nothing. Then he destroys them after they believe that they can follow after him. He builds them up and then totally wipes them out. Satan tries all this glamour and things, but it's a trap. It's all a trap. It looks good until you find yourself trapped with no way out. I remember getting a little letter from the government saying greetings. And they shipped me off to Fort Ord, California. And I remember the first morning I woke up there, I felt like, man, I'm stuck. There's nowhere I got to do this, and there's nothing I can do about it. And that's what I think while people will feel in the tribulation. I think that's what people feel a lot of times when they succumb to the enemy's schemes and his traps. So these demonic armies, they're going to come along, and their goal is to kill and to torture men. Those who are still alive have been through 5 months of pain and torture. 5 months of pain and torture. I can't comprehend it. Then this army is coming across the earth now, killing. After they've been wanting to die and couldn't, now this army, demonic army, comes along killing them. What do you think the news reports will look like when all of this starts to take place? Well, I'm sure they'll still blame Trump, no matter how long it waits. But after all of this, after all of these things start happening, I believe there will be many that will think, do you think we should believe in Jesus? Maybe that what they've been saying was right. But instead, most of them, we see here, they will still try to come up with some sort of explanation for it. They see all of this, but they will still not believe in God. They won't change their mind. They will not repent because of a hardened heart. You may know someone with a very hard heart that maybe you've been trying to minister to and reach out to, and they just continue to reject Christ. These are the areas that you need to reveal to them. You need to let them know the truth of what's coming to hopefully soften that heart for them. And then verse 20. We see they don't repent. Look at verse 20. It says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Verse 21 says, and they did not repent of their murders, of their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. They did not repent. They will not turn away from what they want. See, our society today is such a me, me, me society. We're such a, we deserve it. You owe me all these things. We should just have it. Just give it to me free. We want it, so we should have it. So there's this demon worship going on at this time. And they didn't repent. So they didn't repent of their murders, of their sorceries, or of their drugs, of their sexual immorality, of their thefts. That these things were going on. They're going on now today, but to the extreme that they will be happening during the tribulation is even multiplied more. So we have this thought going around today that if all men would just had equality, if all men had equality, if we all had the same amount of money in the bank, everything would be perfect. Well, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. It never does. They say, let's take from the rich and give to the poor. And we know it never works out that way. It never does. Someone always figures out a way to get your share. There's always another way to get your share. Men are greedy. Men are greedy. They are thieves. They are murderers, politicians. Kind of put all the greedy thieves and murderers under the one title, I think. So this worship of self and self-desires, it continues to go on. It goes on. Imagine when the church is gone. Once the church is raptured away, many will rejoice saying, aren't you glad those Christians are gone? Wow. They were so intolerant. They just wouldn't put up with what we want. They always wanted to do what the Bible says. Boy, it's a good thing they're gone. So now they're thinking, now we can do what we want. They're out of our way. See, darkness does not like the light. And that's what we are to them in the darkness of their sin. We're light. We shine light on the dark areas of their lives, and they don't like it. We're the light of Jesus shining in on their sin, and they never are happy about that. But when that light is gone, when the church is raptured, they will think, oh boy, now life is just one great big party. One big party. And when that happens, I believe it's going to be pretty scary when man is left on his own. Things spiral out of control. When man is left on his own, things get totally chaotic, totally out of control every time. We see it starting to happen in our nation today. The chaos in the streets and the murders and the crime rate and all the stuff that's taking place. But it's nothing compared to what will take place during the tribulation. See, man doesn't ever try to control himself. He just doesn't. He seems to always try to control others in order to get what he wants, but not control himself. Self-control. One of the things that we say on Monday night in the most excellent way is, I'm helpless against the effects of drugs, alcohol, and self-centered behavior. So if anyone here still has self-centered behavior in your life, you might want to come to Monday night, because we can work with that. No, I didn't hear any grunts or groans or people saying, yeah, amen to that one. I don't know. All right. See, but man doesn't want to control himself. He wants to control others just to get what he wants out of life. So we see here, even in the face of judgment, man hardens his heart even more against God. He hardens it even more. The time is coming. The time is coming. We can see the pieces of the puzzle beginning to come together more and more. There is an urgency into what is happening in our world today. This thing that's going on with Russia right now. If you read Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38, take some time, if you want to, this afternoon and read those chapters, Ezekiel 36, 37, and 38. Just read through those chapters. And then turn on the news, hopefully not a fake news. World events that are happening today are happening faster and faster with much more intensity than ever before. And how did Jesus describe them? As birth pangs. That's what happens when a lady is in labor. Her birth pangs become more intense, and they become closer and more frequently together. We see birth pangs happening in our world today. In Ezekiel, you read a lot about the nation of Persia coming into world prominence. They will join with Gog and Magog of the north, Russia. So you do realize who Persia is. It's Iran. We've been hearing a lot about Iran, especially the last couple of days, because now they're wanting to restore that Iran nuclear deal. Now, I don't know a whole lot about the details of that, but one thing I did pick up for the other day was that deal means that Iran will get rid of some of their nuclear capability and give it away. But guess who they give it to? Russia. And so you see Russia and Iran starting to kind of make this pact, along with China. They're getting involved in it too, but mainly scripturally, Russia and Iran, they're having this pact. They're starting to have this bond together with what's going on. There are a lot of other things going on in Iran that we don't hear much about these days. They're even developing their own currency to trade oil with other than the American dollar. All oil is traded in American dollars today. That's how we control it. If we lose that control, America's position in the world is completely changed. Completely changed. America's dominance in the world is not on very solid ground any longer. We're not where we used to be or where we should be. But when you think about it, America does not show up in end times prophecy. There's nowhere in end times prophecy where we see the nation of the United States of America. I believe this is because it becomes a non-player in the world. Just be a total non-player in the world. When the Christians are taken out of America, it will soon fall down flat. It'll be flat. It will be gone. No longer exist as we know it today. And when that happens, you see things in the Middle East really start to heat up even more. And these things will soon, I believe, come to pass the way things are looking like they're together. Now, God is long-suffering. God could say, put the brakes on all this stuff, turn it around, and pour out a revival upon the world. That could happen. He's that type of God. He's long-suffering. But when you look at the seasons that we're in, the things that are taking place, when you see stirrings of Persia, we should get very interested. When you have Iran and Russia working together and making deals with one another like they are right now, then you have the threats that are still even coming out of Iran and other nations there, but mostly Iran, when you hear what they think about Israel, and you realize things are getting warmer. And see, America's always been a protector and an ally with Israel, but we're even losing that today. We're even losing that. They, you know, the Iranians believe that Israel should be driven into the sea. They want to totally get rid of the Israelis. They don't even have Israel on their maps. And these things have been being taught in the Palestinian textbooks for years. That's what they've been pounding into the minds of their children for years. That's why you can see a 17 to 20-year-old and even younger strap on a bomb and go out and do a suicide bombing, blow himself up for Allah. That is what he has been raised to believe. He's been raised to believe that's going to get him this eternity in paradise. We need to be aware of what the Bible says, and we need to know the signs of the times. We need to know the signs of the times. We're running out of time, possibly. Like I say, we serve a long-suffering God. He's in control. He knows the day and the hour when all this stuff is going to happen. But we need to be busy about our Father's business. We need to get busy doing the things he's called us to do today as the church. We need to be proclaiming these stories. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, proclaim the love and grace of Christ to people. If they don't receive him at that, then let them know about the wrath that is coming. The wrath that we're reading about here in the book of Revelation. We're running out of time. The rapture of the church could happen at any moment. At any moment, everything's in place. And once that happened, then the things that we've been reading about here in Revelation, they will all start to happen. Just as the Bible says that they will. You can count on that. Once the church is raptured out, there's no stopping this stuff. There's no stopping the opening of the seals and the trumpets, and then as we continue on, the bowl judgments that are coming. When you see that happening in the world today, you know that we're getting close. We're getting so close. Think of the attitude of the world toward Christians today. The world looks at Christianity and they just try to shun it, and they say, you know, oh, they're just filled with hate. They're filled with, you know, all this garbage that they lay upon the church. And overseas, especially, the Christians are being persecuted at an increasing number, more and more. So we can see more and more that the things written about here in the book of Revelation are going to happen. They're going to happen. I can guarantee it. Once the church is raptured away. But we can rejoice in knowing that we won't be here for them. we won't be here. We can rejoice in that. We can have comfort in that. But don't allow that to make you complacent. Don't allow it to be you be complacent about what is going on now. Don't just sit back and wait for that trumpet to sound and say, okay, I'm fine now. No, we need to be about our Father's business. Don't just have the attitude that, well, when the rapture comes, I'm going to be out of here anyway. I'm going to be in heaven. So all of these things here in these chapters, all these terrible things about these locusts and the scorpion tails and the skeins and wanting to die and can't, I'm going to be in heaven. No, don't have that kind of attitude. No. We have to have an urgency in mind. There needs to be an urgency about us. And here I think are some questions that we can take with us today. Some things we can consider. We need to establish where we each are individually today. Where is in your heart in terms of an urgency to tell others? I don't believe that anyone in this room today is hardening your heart. At least I hope not. I pray not. But if by chance there is anyone here today that doesn't believe the Word of God and thinks that they will be fine on their own, I can do it on my own. I don't need Jesus. Don't do what the people in verse 20 and 21 did. They hardened their hearts and they wouldn't repent. You may be here today and have doubts that God even exists. There may be some listening online today that has doubts that God even exists. But if you are honest with yourself, if people were truly honest and look around at creation, the very creation itself, the Bible says that creation leaves men without any excuse. There should be a light go off inside of each and every one of us as we see the creative abilities of an almighty God. There's just no way that all of this just happened. There wasn't this big bang and this just all came about. Think about the car you drove here today. It had to have had a creator. Had to. You know that. You don't get in your car and have the thought, boy, this car just happened. Boy, there was a bunch of metal pieces laying on the ground and all of a sudden it just, whoo, came together. No, it doesn't work that way. There had to be a creator. As we look at the heavens and the earth, it should instill within us that knowledge that there had to be a creator. Because how much more complex is the universe, even than the vehicle that you drove here in? Still, people believe the lie that it just happened. Unfortunately, that's been ingrained in our children for years in our school system. Once they got rid of creationism and brought in evolution, that's what they've been taught and believed for years through our school system. A lie that it just happened. So there are two ways to go. You can go God's way and end up in heaven. Or there is your way. You know, kind of like Burger King, have it your way. You know, there's your way. And as I read the things that are taking place here in this book of Revelation, I know for sure that I want to go God's way. I want to do it His way. I don't want to ever be stung by a scorpion again. Never. Once was enough. I look for them all the time. I even have one of the little blacklight flashlights that I go around with. I don't ever want to be stung by a scorpion, especially one that lasts for 5 to 6 months. 5 days, like I said, was more than enough for me to go through that. Be sure not to harden your heart. If God speaks to you today, don't hang on to that self-centeredness any longer. Give up whatever God is calling you to do and to give up. whatever God is calling you to change in your life today, be obedient, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. We can believe the word of God. You can believe it. You can trust in on it. You can rely on it. You can cling to the promises in the word. Think of the fact that over 300 times the Bible foretold the coming of Jesus in very great detail. Each one was fulfilled exactly like God said it would be fulfilled. Over 300 times his was predicted his first coming when he come as a servant to pay that ultimate price for your sin and my sin. So is there any reason? Is there any reason to doubt at all what we're reading about here in Revelation won't happen just as it says it will? It will come to pass just as it's written, believe me. Just as it's written, we all need to have a heart that is willing to listen to what God is speaking to us today. Open our hearts, open our ears. Today, you need to listen with a soft heart. Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. If you hear his voice, do not harden his heart. Make sure that you spend time in the word. Make sure you spend time in prayer. Not only do you have to spend time in the word and in prayer, but you also have to believe what you've read. You have to believe it's for you as well as everyone else. Faith brings certain actions into our lives. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message or by the word of God. When we believe, it changes our attitude and our actions. So where is your heart today? Where are you at today, and what's the urgency? Do you have an urgency to even hand out TrueLife.org cards, telling people, inviting them to church and showing on the back they can go in and watch a bunch of videos, giving them answers to questions they may have? Are you able to simply do that? Do you have that type of urgency? Are you doers of the word and not just hearers? I think as we read this book of Revelation, as we know that we can be thankful and blessed that God has shown us that the church doesn't have to go through this. It will not go through this. But yet that should motivate us. How many people do you know that don't have a relationship with Jesus that could be sitting right there next to you this morning? Many people do you know that if you just were obedient to the word of God and did the word that he was calling you to do, they would maybe receive him? And so be motivated. And remember that those that are stuck in this tribulation period, the pain that they're feeling, they want to die, but they just can't die. Can you imagine that? Being kept from getting out of all that pain. Jesus has given us a way of escape. Take advantage of it today and present it to as many people as you can to take advantage of as well. Let's pray.